So we're going to have our reading now, which Phoebe and Niasha will read for us. And this is part of one of the greatest psalms in the Bible. And it's a psalm that helps us to reflect on the nature of God the Father. So they're going to read for us part of Psalm 103. Thank you.
The Lord is kind and merciful. He is patient and full of love.
He does not always criticize. He does not stay angry with us forever.
We sinned against him, but he didn't give us the punishment we deserved.
His love for his followers is as high above us as heaven is above the earth.
And he has taken our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west.
The Lord is as kind to his followers as a father is to his children.
He knows all about us. He knows we are made from dust.
He knows our lives are short, that they are like grass. He knows we are like little wildflower that grows so quickly.
But when the hot wind blows, it dies. Soon you cannot even see where the flower was.
But the Lord has always loved his followers, and he'll continue to love them forever and ever.
He will be good to all their descendants, to those who are faithful to his agreement, and to who remember to obey his commands.
The Lord set his throne up in heaven, and he rules over everything.
Thanks. I chose this reading because we sometimes, and I often hear it said, that, oh, the God of the New Testament is very different to the God of the Old Testament. Do you ever think that or hear that said? You know, because in the New Testament, we hear all about Jesus and how nice Jesus was. And then in the Old Testament, though, we read lots of very difficult stories and passages about God. And people can often say, oh, well, you know, isn't Jesus nice? But God in the Old Testament is a bit mean, really. God in the Old Testament is a bit nasty. And I hear that a lot. But I wanted to share this psalm because right in the middle of the Old Testament, right at the heart of Israel's worship, right in the heart of the songs that they would sing in worship every day, every week, is this wonderful psalm that talks about the character of God, the character of God the Father, the character of the God they knew. And it says things like, the Lord is kind and merciful. He is patient and full of love. He does not stay angry with us forever. He didn't give us the punishment we deserved. His love for his followers is as high above us as heaven is above the earth, infinite love. And he has taken our sins away from us. When we come to God and say sorry for what we've done wrong, he takes those sins away from us as far as the east is from the west, infinite forgiveness. The Lord is as kind to his followers as a father is to his children. He knows all about us. He knows we are made from dust. He knows we are made from dust. What does that mean? Well, it means that God, the Creator, knows how we are made. He knows that we're not perfect. He knows that we're not gods. He knows that we're not, sometimes, you know, we'll do things wrong. Sometimes we'll make mistakes because we are human, because we are creatures rather than the Creator himself. God knows what we're like because he made us. But it says the Lord has always loved his followers. So the God of love is right there in the middle of the Old Testament. And yes, there are some difficult passages in the Old Testament, but that God of love described in Psalm 103. And I remember it because if I try and think, now what was that really good psalm that talks about God the Father? If I'm trying to remember it, I think of, the Trinity, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, God the Father is one of three. right? Number one of three. One or three. So if you want to find a good psalm about God the Father, then look at Psalm 103. And that's how I remember it. And often, you know, often in the Bible, yes, God is angry. And God often makes it clear that people haven't understood what God was like. That's the point, really, of God getting angry, because he says to his own people sometimes, you know, you haven't understood my love. You haven't understood my kindness. You haven't understood what God's people should be like. Because God's people, if they're part of a covenant with God, should try to reflect what God is like. All God wants is a people who try to reflect his goodness, his love, his grace to the world. And God does get angry in the Old Testament, and Jesus gets angry in the New Testament when God's people, God's covenant people, turn away from him, follow other gods, or don't act with the same grace and the same forgiveness that he has shown them. In fact, the character of Jesus in the New Testament is exactly the same as the character of God in the Old Testament. And that is really why Jesus came in the flesh, to show us what God was like. And so let's pause there for a moment, because I could go on this theme until 12 o'clock, but we've got other things to do. And we're going to hear another reading for us now. Claire, you're going to read the gospel reading. Thank you very much.
The gospel reading is taken from Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So that reading is one of the few readings in the Bible that puts Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together as a Trinity, because Jesus says, he says to his disciples, go and make disciples in all the world, baptizing them, which is what we're going to do later, Tommy, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to use an illustration that I often use in schools when talking about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And whenever we talk about the Trinity, and whenever preachers try to talk about the Trinity, there's a danger that we can say, this is what God is like. And I don't think we can ever say, in an illustration, this is what God is like. In fact, it took the whole of the life of Jesus to show this is what God is like. So let's not think like that, okay? Because some of the illustrations I'm going to give you are human characters, human beings, who are not God. Okay, I'll say that from the start. They are not God, they are not like God, but our relationship with God can be thought of in this way, and lots of other ways as well. So let's see the first picture. Okay. Can anyone tell me who this man is?
Eddie Howe.
Thanks, Tommy. Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe. And who is Eddie Howe? The manager of Newcastle United. Yeah. So Yeah. So people might say, how's the manager of Newcastle United? And I would say, he's very well, thank you. Anyway, but okay, so this is Eddie Howe. And a few years ago, Eddie Howe really reignited my passion for football again. Because I'd seen Newcastle for many years on quite a dire, path, really, where there was not a lot of hope. But then Eddie Howe became manager about three and a half years ago. And you see, and what attracted me to him was the way he managed the club, the way he managed the players, the way he got them playing for each other, playing as a team with such passion, with team spirit, with passion that rivals the Newcastle fans. And for many years, the team had not been playing with the same passion that the fans had. And they were wondering why those players were getting paid so much for not having the same passion as they had. Well, anyway, that's another story. But this is Eddie Howe. And I love the way he manages his club. He looks on those footballers like they are his own children. He often says in his press conferences, he often uses the word love about the players, about how much he loves them individually. And he is a really good football manager. So you see, so the first part of the Trinity is I want to think about God the manager. Okay, so I must say as well, other football teams are available. Okay, and I know there's lots of teams out there, but I'm just giving you this one example. Okay, let's see the next picture. Okay. This is Eddie Howe on the 16th of March this year when Newcastle won the League Cup, the Carabao Cup as it's called, thanks to sponsorship, but it's the League Cup, and they won that at Wembley, and it's the first trophy Newcastle had won in this country for 70 years. So that was quite a good day. Yeah, on my sabbatical. In fact, I got a whole week out of that one, really. So this is the success that can come from a good manager who's getting a good team working together. So you see, the idea of God being our manager, okay, let's think of that, right? So the manager in a team, he picks the team, he decides on the tactics, he decides how he wants them to play, and he also, if he's a good manager, tries to get to know all about them, what's going to make them perform better, what's going on in their lives that might be worrying them, and all of these things that he has to deal with as manager. Now God is our manager. If we are part of God's team, if we're part of God's people, then we have to listen to the manager. You know, we have to listen to the manager's instructions. He's the one, God the Father, is the one who lays down the instructions of how he wants us to play the game. And he loves us like a good manager, like Eddie Howe loves his players. But I reckon that, you know, I've never heard him get angry, but I reckon he probably could get angry if they weren't playing the way he wanted them to. Just the way God might express some anger if God's people are not doing what they should be, not acting how they should be. And that's what I was talking about earlier. So this is the first part of the football trinity, God the manager. So let's see the next picture. Okay, does anyone know who this man is? Emily. Bruno. Yeah, this is Bruno. Yeah, so this is Bruno Guimarães. He is a Brazilian midfielder who is our captain, and he is just oozing with passion, with joy. Let's see the next picture. He prays every match. He's a very religious man, I think, and he prays every match before the match. He thanks God if he scores or if the team wins. But he leads the team with passion, with energy. He is the midfielder who has run more miles than any other Premier League footballer in the league last season. He's also got more tackles against him than any other Premier League footballer last season. And he's our captain. And so what does a captain do in a team? What's the role of a captain? Does anyone know? He's on the field with them, yeah. So he doesn't just sit on the sidelines. Sorry, I'm going to need to take a drink. Got so excited talking about the football team. So the captain's role is to lead by example on the pitch. If the captain isn't having a very good game, the rest of the team aren't likely to. But if the captain shows that he's prepared to put in the effort, that he's prepared to make the sacrifices, that he's prepared to give everything he's got for the team, then the other players will hopefully raise their game as well. And he's a fantastic captain. From that point of view, they certainly couldn't have a better example on the pitch. Let's see the next picture. And there he is. He was in tears after we won the cup. And there he is on that day, so proud. And he was so proud to lift that trophy as the first captain to do so for a very long time. And but where does this fit in with our Trinity? So Jesus, God the Son, is the captain. Because if we are on his team, if we are part of God's team, then we need someone who's been there. We need someone who we can look up to. We need someone who we know is prepared to go the extra mile, to put in the work, to make the sacrifice, and to give all he's got. And that's what Jesus did in his life. And Jesus is still our captain. There's a hymn which is called At the Name of Jesus, and it uses the phrase, crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. Well, I think of him as like a football captain. And so our relationship with Jesus is a bit like the relationship between a captain and the rest of the team. So let's move on to the next bit. Now, who are these guys? Does anyone know who these two might be or what their job might be in the team? Phoebe? Co-managers, yeah. They are sort of, especially when earlier this season, Eddie Howe was in hospital with pneumonia. These guys had to run the team without him. So this is Jason Tindall and Graham Jones. And they are part of the coaching team at Newcastle. They are part of the coaching team. And so their job is to be coaches. And what does a coach do in a football team or in any sport? What does a coach do?
Encourage,
exactly. Encourage, yes.
Improves.
Ah, very good. Encourages, improves, anything. Teachers, yep, works on the tactics with them, yep. Support, yes, encourages, improves, supports, teaches. This is what a coach does. Let's see the next picture. Okay, so here they are, they're in the top picture there, they are restraining a player who's got a bit worked up about something going on the pitch. In the bottom picture there, they are celebrating with the team when we've just won the cup as well. So there's different things. The coaches But the coaches have to be with them every day in training. The coaches have to work with them. They have to know, you know, what their fitness levels are. They have to work with them on tactics and all sorts of things. But they have to be close to them day after day after day. And the coaches never get any credit. In fact, they are almost invisible. But they're really important. And so this is a bit like God, the Holy Spirit. It's a bit like our relationship with the Holy Spirit that comes alongside us, that works with us every day, that's almost, well, that is invisible, but that is there to encourage us, to improve us, to teach us, and to do all of those other things that we mentioned, that might have to restrain us at times, that might have to say, hang on, patience, you know, or that will be able to celebrate with us when we have joy. And so these three things, these are ways we can think about our relationship with God. God the manager, God the captain, and God the coach. And I find that helpful. Let's see some pictures of them all together. Manager, captain, and coach. Well, actually, with God, it's not... it is three persons, but they are three in one. They are so united that we would say there's only one God, but there are three persons. There are three parts to that. And I can't explain that any better than that. Once we start getting into the intricacies of the Trinity, but three persons, one God, three in one. Let's see the next picture. And this is the whole team, the whole squad, with all the trainers and coaches and everything there. That's obviously the cup final as well. Because the wonderful thing is that God, God isn't just a team of three. God wants us to be part of his team. God invites us to be part of his team. God is encouraging all of us. And when we accept that, when we become part of God's team, then we have a manager who loves us, a captain who leads by example, and a coach who will always be with us. So I think that's where I'll finish for now.